Frequency here, live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. I won't be putting on any makeup or any dresses, but I will pray for you this morning here live on air, because we are about to pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Each day at 9 a.m. Central, we gather as a little praying family to offer up the prayer of the Divine Mercy Chaplet, which is about 90 years old. And it's a wonderful prayer, especially aimed at those that are dying, those that are sick, but also it's getting souls back to where they need to be, which is with God. Each day in this little radio apostolate, I'm joined by everybody who listens to us. Whether you're listening passively or whether you're praying along with us, you are part of our prayer warrior family. But we have specific prayer warriors who come into the studio each day, and they pray with me. And we are so grateful that they give up their time and their energy to pray for you. Let's find out today who is our prayer warrior.
In the studio with us today, Kevin, we have Archangel Radio sponsor, Mrs. Jenny Carr.
Jenny, welcome back.
Thank you. See, I thought the other song was my theme song now. I was singing along.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you pray all the time. I'm sure you pray as you get ready in the morning. You pray for your children. You pray for your friends.
Yes.
You pray for the day ahead. Yeah, pray for strength like the rest of us.
Yes, every day.
Yeah, yes, it is. Yes. It's a challenge every day. But I don't know about you, Jenny. I couldn't get through the day without prayer.
No, no. I've been reading a lot about the heroic minute from St. Jose Maria, and that's been kind of my mantra these past few weeks, is trying to have that every morning.
Well, I know that heroic moment very well, but I have said to St. Jose Maria, mine is a heroic hour.
Okay. I like that.
it takes me an hour to get going in the morning. Just for anybody listening who doesn't know, the heroic moment is to jump out of bed in the morning and say, yes, Lord, serve you am. I shall serve you. I shall work, which is true. We try that. But sometimes it could be 5 minutes, a heroic 5 minutes where you stumble around in the dark, you know, or trying to get to the bathroom, whatever. So, but it's a very good way to start the day. But I think at the very most, I'm sure you'll agree, Jenny, the real thing at the start of the day is to just quietly offer it to God.
Yes, yes. And that's been, I haven't necessarily bound out of the bed, but I have opened my eyes, not hit snooze, and started my morning prayers.
That's wonderful. I heard a wonderful quote. It was Denzel Washington saying it, but I don't think it was originally from him. And he said that he was giving one of those talks at the start or the end of somebody's education. And he said, put God first, put God first, which was great. I mean, who's going to argue with that? Yes. But then he said that, I forget who said it, he said, but somebody said, at night, put your slippers well under the bed. Because when you wake up in the morning, you'll get straight down on your knees.
Oh, I like that. That's a good visual. That's a really good visual.
It is, isn't it? But it's also, there's a little bit of human psychology there, which is sometimes you need to get down on your knees, but another reason for it. So, well, anyway, we've started our day in the right spirit because we are praying together here today. And I'm sure, Jenny, you have brought many, many intentions with you.
Yes, yes. I have some very important ones. So looking forward to sharing that.
But I notice, even at this distance, that you are flying solo today.
Yes, I am. It is quite difficult on Fridays for Diane to travel back and forth across the interstate. It is full on beach traffic, and you know, and our Bayway likes to have lots of fender benders, so it unfortunately doesn't work out. But we're going to get back once fall is, you know, around. She'll be back with me.
Are you sure all those cars are not heading for early morning masses across the Archdiocese?
I that is what I hope and I expect.
It looks like it outside of St. Lawrence. Every day, the daily mass at St. Lawrence here at this parish is absolutely packed out every single day.
Wow.
It's incredible.
Oh,
wow.
It is. It is. And the 5:30 mass lately has been the same way. I've had to come to that one instead of morning mass just because of scheduling things, and I've been just amazed to see the increase.
This is great.
Yeah, at all ages, and I've loved seeing that. So very, Very
wow.
good.
Wow. Yep. Well, we've been praying a lot for St. Lawrence, and this is great news that people are going to Mass there. It's so good. I have to say, Jenny, you know, all the talk, the doom and the gloom about the church, even in our parish here in London, I have noticed there was a real, I mean, it fell off the cliff during the pandemic, right? We all know that. Mm-hmm. But the last 6 months or so, I have seen the weekday Mass I'm talking about, and forget Sundays, the weekday Mass, you know, the congregation is constantly growing
yes.
with new people,
mm-hmm.
you know, all ages, as you say, and all backgrounds. And I'm thinking, where are all these people coming mm-hmm. from? And so, you know, the famous, your wonderful wit and raconteur, Mark Twain, there was a newspaper report that he was dead when he wasn't dead. And you probably know the famous quip that came back. He said, reports of my death, my imminent death, he said, have been greatly exaggerated. And I often think that that is true of our Holy mm-hmm. Church as well. Whenever its enemies talk about the end of the Catholic Church, just you wait.
Mm-hmm.
That's the moment when the surprise comes. And you know why? Because we believe in a God who escaped the tomb.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So it just happens all again. Yeah. Just when everybody, all those Pharisees thought, well, that sorted that Galilean out, we can forget about him. Bang, look what happened. So I'm full of hope in the coming years that we are going to see an explosion mm-hmm. of wonders. And it's going to come about partly because people like you and me, Jenny, are here today to pray for it.
Yes. Well, thank you. Yes. And God wins. That's my mantra.
Yes, we both read that last page of the Bible. God
yes.
wins.
Mm-hmm.
So
100%.
Nothing to worry about. Okay, well, I'm afraid we win and the Lord wins, but the clock always defeats us, so we better get going, Jenny.
Okay.
So I'm assuming you've come with your beads?
Yes.
Wonderful. Okay, let's begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son,
and the
Holy
Spirit.
Spirit.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Okay, that's us up and running, Jenny. So, listen, final call. If you want Jenny and me to pray for you, then there's two ways you can engage with us. You can phone us on 888-928-0881. Reed will take your call. You can come on air, or you can leave a message with Reed anonymously. That's absolutely fine. Or you can text us on 251-928-2111. And those texts come straight through, and we will pray for whatever your intention is. Okay, Jenny, first decade, who or what would you like us to pray for?
This one is very difficult. It's a former person that was on our leadership team. His name's JP. And when I was just visiting Spain last week for about 8 days and arrived back into the States to a text that his daughter, his 7-year-old daughter, had been admitted to ICU with meningitis, encephalitis, and things were just not looking good, and she did pass away yesterday. Her name was Julia. So I just want to pray for her and for he and his wife. And we've known him for a number of years. I know his son is a friend of my daughter's. He's got another son, and just want to pray for all of them. It's just been a really hard week.
Yeah.
Very hard.
That is really hard.
Yes.
How old was Julia?
7.
7 years old.
Yes. Yeah. It's been. And he's a.
Well, JP, if you're listening to this, first of all, you've got a very good friend in Jenny bringing this to us so we can pray for you and your wife at this time. I have got no words for this situation other than we commend Julia to God's mercy. A 7-year-old, a beautiful little soul who has now gone to heaven. All I will say, JP, and to your darling wife, is that one day, please God, you will all be reunited in the place where all tears are wiped away.
Yes, thank you.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Jenny. Thank now, you. Jenny, you just sit back for a moment because I've got some intentions I've got to run through here. Our good friend Elisa from New Jersey, and do you remember her father, Bill, who is in a nursing home? And Elisa and her little daughter weren't able to actually sit in the same room as Bill for all sorts of reasons. So we lift them up today. We lift up Bill and Elisa. We've got Bill, the father, Elisa, the daughter, and then we've got his little granddaughter. And we pray for all of them up in New Jersey there, that it'll all work out, and soon Bill will be able to play once more with his granddaughter and the great joy of just being with her. I've got a couple of anniversaries here today. We've got Jerry and Liz, and we've got Catherine as well, whose anniversary it is today, wedding anniversaries. So we pray for them and anybody who's getting married. We've prayed this week for young couples getting married, anybody getting married this weekend or in the coming weeks, especially in the Archdiocese of Mobile. We'd like to pray for you today. And if you want to send us a quick note of whose names you are, very happy to do so. We're continuing to pray for Antonio. Do you remember Antonio, the man with a brain tumor, has six
yes.
beautiful children?
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Now, listen, I spoke to his dear friend the other day, and things are, I don't want to say improving, but they're getting better.
Oh, God.
And the doctors are a little bit surprised, so I don't want to say too much at this point, but we've got to keep praying. Let's pray for a miracle, because listen, there's no other possibility with this. Okay. This is going one way, so we're praying for a miracle in the name of Jesus, that this miracle take place and that this man be restored to his wife and six children, and that through it people will come to know, especially the medical staff, of the power of God.
Yes, 100%. Yes, that's beautiful.
I'd like to pray for my friend Javier. He's got a number of health problems. He's backwards and forwards. He's got leukemia. We pray for him very much at this time. He's a wonderful Christian soul. And another friend of mine who was contacted recently, she is a sister, a religious sister, and she's in a hospital at the moment, or in a care home of one sort. She's got a really difficulties with mobility, but she heard about the show and she's desperate to listen to the show every day. So her name is Sister Scholastica, and I want to say, well, sister, here's the show, and we're praying for you on it. And you know what these sisters are like when they are bedridden. They'll be praying for all of us all the time. So it's a wonderful opportunity. So Sister Scholastica, we're praying for you today. Now, you may remember we had David Williams on the show during the earlier part of the week, and David has a very important family event today where the remains of his father and his little brother are going to be interned, and the whole family is gathering for that. And we said we would pray for David this morning, and I want to really lift David up. And David is also helping an elderly parishioner tomorrow to move from her home into a care home. Her name is Mary Ann, and we pray for Mary Ann as well. So we lift all of those up. And we've just had Father Darren on from California. We pray for his ministry and pray for everybody he comes into contact in that city of angels.
Yes.
That's a misnomer if ever there was one.
I know,
for Los
I know.
Angeles.
I was thinking that when I listened to him, his ministry is, yeah, he's in the right place.
Absolutely. So for all of these in this second decade, I wonder if you would join with me, Jenny, as we say, Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Jenny. Now, this third decade, I'm turning to you once more, Jenny. Who or what would you like us to pray for?
I think I was thinking about it this morning. For all the kids that are either going off to college, back to school, this is just, you know, one of those times where just being pulled in every direction, trying to finish up their socializing and that sort of thing for the summer, but just to keep all of them safe and continued geared towards God and keeping focused on that path. And I know for my children in particular, as well as, you know, every child out there, their friends, their, you know, just everyone. I guess that's what I wanted to offer up.
Absolutely. Do you mind if we'll pray for all those children, whatever transition you're going through, whether it's from a little school to a big school, whether you're going to college, whether you're going to the military, whether you're going into employment, leaving college and going into your first job, whatever it is, whatever that moment of transition, it is a big deal. Mm-hmm. Let nobody tell you otherwise. And we're going to pray that the Holy Spirit give you the wisdom and the grace to be able to get through that moment. And as well, Jenny, if you don't mind, I'd just like to pray for your children specifically as well during this decade. Do you mind just chiming out their Christian names?
Yes, Preston, Ella, and Beckett.
Okay. So we are praying especially for those three children that they will become saints, nothing less.
Yes, thank you.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Jenny. Now, we've had a text in this morning. We've had a text. It doesn't say who from, but I'll say who it's for. It's prayers wanting to be offered for my father, Jeff Zeman. We are praying for his healing from surgery and that the doctors are guided to find the right medicine to for him to recover from his infection. So, Anonymous, we are delighted to pray for Jeff this morning. Jeff Zeman, if you're listening, Jeff, we pray that the doctors are able to cure you with the right treatments, the right medicine, whatever is required. But above all, we ask the divine physician to step in here and really to cure you properly once and for all, and that you will be healed, bandaged up by the Good Shepherd at this time.
Yes.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Jenny. Now, we're into the fifth and final decade. I'm going to come to you for the last word, Jenny, at the end. But before we do so, I'm just going to turn to Reed, our wonderful producer here on the show. Reed, any intentions today?
Yes, Kevin. I would love to pray for Mike and his family. Mm-hmm. And I would love to pray for our parish priest, Father Jim Morrison, and his evangelical director, Melanie Stein. Ever since they, Father Jim has been at St. Patrick's for about 8 or 9 years now, and Melanie has been there for, I think, a year and a half, but it may be a little shorter time than that. And I've been there over a decade, and I really think that their impact on the parish has done an incredible job growing it and making it a higher quality experience for everybody who attends that parish.
That's a wonderful prayer, Reed. Definitely praying for Father Jim and Melanie and everybody at St. Patrick's. They're very lucky to have you there as well, Reed. You do so much there in the parish. So we pray for St. Patrick's Parish today in a special way. And if anybody's listening in St. Patrick's, good morning to you. We're praying for you this morning. And while we're here, we might as well pray. This is the Friday, the last day of the week, a working week. So we'll pray for everybody at Archangel Radio. Mm-hmm. Pray for Ellen, for Todd, for Mike, for Sherry, for Shannon, for everybody on the board, and for all our donors and all our sponsors, including Miss Jenny Carr. And we pray for all of them today and all their needs. All, of course, we pray for Michelle as well, our executive producer. And we pray for their families and pray for peace to reign in their families so they can concentrate on their professional work. And yeah. And also, talking of work, let's pray for our good friend, Dr. Amal, who's searching for work. Do you remember? She got the sack, told us, from the hospital because they were a bit, well, I can't say too much, but she's well off out of it, as we say, this side of the Atlantic. So she's looking for work. So we pray for Amal that she will somebody will recognize her wonderful gifts and decide to employ her. Okay. So, Jenny, last word to you.
Just to piggyback on to what Reed was saying, I thought about that. I'd like to offer up just all of our priests, all over, particular in our archdiocese. They take on so much, and
very good.
This is not, you know, an easy calling that they've accepted, and just the respect and the just love that, you know, I have for all of them, and everything they do, and just the appreciation, and I guess just offering all of them up because I know it's not always easy.
Thank you, Jenny. Thank you for reminding me to pray for priests during this week. Thank you so much. Let's pray for that. And let's also pray for your business. You haven't asked for these prayers, Jenny, but let's pray for you, for your business partner, yes. Diane. Yes. Is Diane fully fit? She up 15 rounds now, fighting
yes.
away?
Yes. Yes. Much to my chagrin sometimes when I tell her to slow down. But
I'm sure yeah. she pays as much attention to you as you do to her in yeah, such no. situations.
That's exactly. We usually kind of look at each other and say, well, you slow down. No, you slow down.
So, absolutely.
Yeah.
No, let's pray that the Lord will bless you. Bless yeah. you, bless you, bless you both.
Thanks.
And bless your business and bless everybody that you come into contact with. It's a wonderful Christian apostolate just to do work well. To be known as somebody who's very good in terms of your professional standing. That is a wonderful apostolate. So I pray that you will get award after award from the Alabama Congress of Realtors or whatever it is that will hand them to you. You'll be recognized for the good that you do for customers, clients, but also for the wider community.
Yeah, I'm very grateful. Every day, very grateful. So thank
good.
You.
Good. Good. I'm so glad. Okay, well, let's say this final decade together. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O my Jesus,
I trust in you.
O my Jesus,
I trust in you.
O my Jesus,
I trust in you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Jenny, thank you so much for coming in and praying with us this morning.
Thank you, as always, for having me.
And I hope it's not long before you're back.
No, I just signed up August 25th.
And hopefully you'll be bringing your partners in crime with you next time.
Yes, that's what I'm going to work on. I have a couple of other agents that I think I've finally gotten them to, jump in with me.
That would be great.
Yes.
That would be fantastic.
Yes.
That's wonderful work.
Mm-hmm.
Well, listen, Jenny, have a wonderful Friday. It's a first Friday, so may the Sacred Heart, the peace of the Sacred Heart, reign in your heart and in your home. And until we meet again, have a beautiful weekend.
Yes. I'm heading to Adoration, so you too. Have a great weekend.
Oh, well, remember us there, Jenny.
I will.
Remember us there.
Thank you
so much. That was Jenny Carr. Not only is she a prayer warrior, but she's also a sponsor of Archangel Radio. She makes this possible. We owe her a great deal. Okay, when we come back, we are crossing to Oregon to speak to Carl Olson. And he's Catholic World Report editor, but we're going to be talking about rock music, prog rock, and all sorts of wonderful assorted musical genres. Stay tuned to the Charlie Frequency here live and exclusive on Archangel Radio.
I saw Lon Chaney walking with the Queen.
Hello and welcome back to Turley Frequency here live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. It is great to have your company this Friday morning. I hope Friday morning is treating you very, very well, wherever you are, wherever you're listening to us. Now, my next guest is Carl Olson, a name familiar to many of you. He is the longtime editor of the Catholic World Report, which I'm sure you'll agree is a trusted resource for what is going on both in the church and indeed in the world. Now, we've had Carl on the show before, and today we could speak about all the woes that afflict both the church and the state, something that poor Carl has to deal with every single day. But it's Friday, so I was wondering if we could ask our guest about something different, maybe explore something a little bit more Friday than Monday morning. So I'd like to talk to Carl today about his great love of rock music and how that has aided his spiritual quest. Well, that's what I'd like to speak to him about. Let's find out if he's willing to. Carl, welcome back to the Turley Frequency.
Hey, Kevin. Yeah, great to be with you. Great topic. I'm always happy to talk about my love for music and to give I guess material to people who doubt my taste when it comes
let's begin at the beginning with this, Carl, because there are some Christians, and I'm sure you've never met them, but I certainly have, that would say that all rock music is the work of the devil, and why are you listening to that? What do you say to that person?
That's how I was raised. You know, I was raised in a very fundamentalist home and Bible chapel, and we had a very negative view of rock music. We had a very negative view of a lot of sorts of music. And I will say this first positively, though. One of the great things about my upbringing, and there were many wonderful things, including a real love for Scripture, a real love for Christ. My parents were very godly people. The people who I grew up with were wonderful. Is that we sang really great hymns, and I learned really great. Now, of course, they were Protestant, but I really appreciated that type of music growing up. And I had a lot of love for that. I think I was first kind of got interested into, you know, rock music, devil music, when I was about eighth or ninth grade. And it was a point of contention with my parents. I mean, I remember my dad, when I was in ninth grade, he discovered that I had, I think it was Elton John, Pat Benatar, Air Supply, which that's not even music, and a couple other albums, and he made me throw them away, which in retrospect was kind of funny because the Elton John album was an early one. I think it was actually maybe his first or second, which is very, very mellow stuff, right? But all my parents, they just knew that it was rock music. But then what was interesting is that they kind of, as I got a little bit older, 16, 17, they kind of lit up, and they just kind of let me do my thing. And I actually got into a lot of music like Kansas, kind of more progressive rock music. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned Kansas in particular because you asked about, you know, affecting my spiritual life. The thing I really like and still like about Kansas, who's still going strong, by the way, putting out really good music, is that they had a lot of themes of spiritual quest, of spiritual searching. And that's because the main songwriter, as you know, in the 1970s was the guitarist, phenomenal guitarist and songwriter, Kerry Livgren, who was on his way to becoming an evangelical Protestant, but he was flirting with all kinds of stuff. He was looking into Eastern religions, et cetera. And the lyrical content of a lot of his music was really fascinating. I mean, it was not sex, drugs, and rock and roll. It was more like enlightenment, self-seeking. What is the meaning of, you know, dust in the wind? I mean, dust in the wind is not a love song. It's very much an existential cry about what is the meaning of it all, right? And yet it becomes this massive hit for them. Carry On, Wayward Son even has that same kind of element, right? So Kansas, right from the top, was one of those bands that caught my attention.
Yeah, I mean, Carry On, Wayward Son, which is a great rock anthem, if anybody hasn't heard it. I mean, it could be the soundtrack for Luke chapter 15, the prodigal son, right?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. In fact, I often think of that. It definitely ties into that. I'm not sure it was... I think that came out in, I should know this off the top of my head, I think was it 1976, 1977? They had two great albums in a row, Point of No Return, Left Overture. And Livgren, that was right at the time where Livgren was really, I think, starting to seriously consider Christianity. And by, I think it was about 1980, he had become a born-again Christian, evangelical Protestant, and then that led to him eventually leaving Kansas, et cetera. He went on to make some really great solo material that was overtly Christian, formed a band called AD that put out overtly Christian rock, which I was really into for a while. So I was really drawn. And then, we look at more of the more secular progressive rock bands that I was also into in late high school would be like Yes. Mm-hmm. Oddly enough, I never got into Genesis, which was strange until a little bit later. I mean, I'm talking early Genesis, so not the pop Genesis. But, you know, Yes was really interesting because, of course, it's very much more kind of new agey. I mean, nobody knows what John Anderson is singing about half the time. I don't think he knows what he's singing about.
I don't even think John Anderson knows what he's singing about half the time, Carl.
That's right. I mean, the real interest in Yes is more for me. It was never so much lyrically like Kansas as it was just the incredible playing. I mean, the song structures and the elaborate time signatures and the absolute amazing kind of arrangements that they pulled off. That was more the attraction there. But I think, it just speaking generally, that a lot of progressive rock music, not all of it, but a lot of it really is much more interesting in terms of how it looks at spiritual realities, considers these kind of deeper questions. I don't want to make across the board statement. Obviously, you have a really wide range of stuff out there, but it tends to be true. And of course, part of that is because you have songs sometimes that are, 10, 12, 14 minutes long. Whereas when you have a 3-minute song, it's not quite as easy to delve into. And of course, pop music, it's true that generally pop music has addressed matters of the heart, romantic love, that kind of thing, or maybe been more just kind of aggressive, stick it to the man, rebellious, that kind of a thing. So I want to also say that oddly enough, that from the time I was in actually junior high on, I had a real love for classical music. And mm-hmm. I've always had a real love for Mozart, Bach, some Beethoven, the two piano concertos by Brahms are two of my personal favorite pieces of music. I listen to them on a regular basis. I love them. And then in my 20s is when I really got into jazz, which is something I've kind of gone nuts with. I have, about 10,000 jazz albums. I have an entire bookcase of books on jazz. That's kind of that became kind of my musical obsession in a lot of ways in my 20s.
Wow, that's a lot of vinyl. Carl.
It's mostly CD or digital. I do now have a decent size collection, a couple hundred of vinyl. But, my poor wife has suffered through all this. So I really try to keep – I only buy vinyl if I find it cheap, like $2 or $3 for something that's worth buying. I don't get crazy about vinyl. Because as you know, the thing with vinyl is that you then have to actually have a decent stereo
system. Yes. Yeah, and you spend all your time fiddling around with needles, with cleaning fluids, and then there's this endless quest for the right sound on the woofers and the speakers, and it's an endless, it's a very male thing. It's like an obsession with a car or something. And I've been in houses where people show me their stack, it's like it's of no interest except to the person who owns it. But going back to what you said there, in a way, it doesn't surprise me in the slightest that you liked all of this music and you liked classical music, because that was my experience too. But in a way as well, Carl, I found that I was exposed to like pop music, which initially, like a little kid, you're kind of, the Beatles or whatever it was. And then you would move into these kind of more symphonic type pieces of music, the 10-minute with the 20-minute drum solo in the middle of it or whatever it was. Do you know what I mean? And you would get used to this sort of extended musical form. And then that led me to things like, I don't know if you remember, people like Jean-Michel Jarre, Oxygen, Equinox, and these albums, which were electronic sounds. And then that led me to really one of my great interests at the moment, which is classical minimalism and the explosion of that music at the end of the 20th century. But here's the funny thing, as you no doubt will know, a lot of that music, people like Arvo Part or Goretzky or John Taverner or Sir James McMillan, they're all Christians. devout Christians. And this music is a kind of late 20th century exploration of faith through music. So in a way, I may have started with the devil's music, but unfortunately he overplayed his hand and I ended up with the angels.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned James McMillan, because I discovered him in the 90s, and one piece of music by him, his Seven Last Words from the Cross.
Yeah.
I listened to every year leading up to during Holy Week. And that piece of music is unbelievable. It is so profound. It is so moving. It's just a work of pure genius. I've listened to a lot of his other work. Some of his work is harder to get into it than others, like the Berserking. Which was a kind of a piano based, that was pretty wild, but I like his vocal work. I really like the things that he's done in recent years with a little bit more of a traditional approach to, vocal classical music. He's one of the finest composers around. I want to tell you a really funny quick story. It's short, actually. When I was in the early 90s, I was working in retail advertising. I was a designer for a large department store chain in Portland, Oregon. And the man next to me in the cubicle is a former college football player and graphic designer, Howard. Howard had the most amazing taste in music. He had thousands of vinyl. To say that he was eclectic in his taste would not be fair to a client. It's just unbelievable. Every day he would say, you should listen to this. Almost every day, it was something new. And one day he hands me this CD, and he says, you should check this out. And it was Robert Shaw's rendition of Rachmaninoff's Vespers. I knew really nothing at that point about Eastern Orthodoxy or sacred music from the East or anything. And I remember listening to that for the first time and just being overwhelmed. Like, it was so astounding, right? And then, about 10 years later, after having entered the Catholic Church, we end up going full-time to an Eastern Catholic, a Byzantine, Ukrainian Rite Catholic Church. It's just, I always think of that because, and here's the thing, Howard was not a Christian. Howard had no religious, I mean, we talked about these things, but he had no interest really in religion. And we had those conversations. So it was just astounding to me. He was attracted to the beauty of it. If for some reason it didn't go further than that with him, I'm not sure why. We didn't get, I lost touch with him, but, there's some really incredible sacred music being put out there right now. Eastern Orthodox, speaking of Eastern Orthodoxy, have you heard of Benedict Sheehan?
We've had him on the show, Carl.
Okay. So his music is remarkable.
It is.
Probably the finest Orthodox composer in the English speaking world, at least that I know
Correct.
Of. My sister, so to bring this full circle, my sister just completed a 1-year residency studying underneath him. She and her husband are Eastern Orthodox. And she actually is going to be working on some projects with him. So she actually has the musical talent. I have no musical talent, unless you count pushing the play button as musical talent, right?
Well, just on that, Carl, because I have wrestled with this a bit. I have in my extended family, I have some really very good musicians of various sorts. Not only have I no musical talent that I know of, but I have no interest in wanting to spend hours learning an instrument. However, I would say that my appreciation of music is as good as anybody's, if not better. I love music. I listen to music every single day. I couldn't imagine a world without music. And I just wonder if that is God's gift to you and me, Carl, that we're not to play, we are to appreciate.
It's really remarkable, because speaking of my childhood, my sister and I were again raised as fundamentalist Protestants. We did not listen to good music at home. At church, we had good hymns. That was it. My parents had no real interest in music, none. I can say with all due affection and respect that my parents were completely tone deaf and just had no interest in music. And yet my sister and I were attracted to it. And my sister at an early age was playing a little toy piano at the age of 5. And I remember at the age of 8 or 9, my parents actually got a piano so she could do lessons. And she would take a song and she would just do off random, she would do variations of a song on her own. She had that ability. I couldn't tell you a high C from an F sharp if my life depended on it. I've tried to learn these things a little bit. I've done a little bit of study just so I could hear it better, understand it better, but my brain doesn't work that way. I'm much more of a visual artist. I'm a visual artist who works in writing, but in a certain way, almost my first love is music.
Okay, so listen, tell me this then, Carl, because I like you, you know, I thought, well, if I learn a little bit about music, then my appreciation will grow. And what I found, to my amazement, was the more I started to learn the mechanics, the more I was looking behind the curtain, and the more unattractive the whole thing became. So I immediately closed the curtain and headed back to the seat and said, no, I'm having nothing to do with that. Do you think there's something in that I have, which is that, I mean, you and I, we write and do other things for a living, so we kind of know the mechanics of writing and stuff, we kind of can see how it all comes together. There's a part of me doesn't want to know how music is created. It's such a miracle to me that I just want to sit there in awe of it. Do you know what I mean?
I do. Now, it's interesting. A few years ago, I discovered this YouTube channel. I'm not big on YouTube channels, but I discovered one by a guy named Rick Beato. You probably have heard of him. He's a producer out of Atlanta who's a phenomenally gifted man, not just as a musician, but as a communicator, as a teacher.
Yes.
He's amazing.
Yes,
and so he's done this series of, you know, what makes a song great, where he focuses on pop music, rock music. But he really is a jazz artist. That's where he comes from. And he loves classical music, and he loves Keith Jarrett. So, I mean, right there, he's, you know, we're in the same realm because I'm a huge Keith Jarrett fan. And one thing I've liked about watching his Rick's YouTube videos is that he shows you the mechanics. And once he starts talking about the sus chords and the key changes, I find it fascinating, but I have no clue what he's talking about. Like, I can hear it, but there's no way in the world I could actually talk about it or even speak coherently or think coherently about it, but I appreciate it. But one thing I love about his stuff is that there's such joy. Like, he is so joyful in his love for music. And even after watching a video, and then, like, he does Carry On Wayward Son, right? He goes through it. If anything, I just appreciate it more. I don't think that I actually am able to grasp enough of it to quote unquote ruin. In fact, it just makes me appreciate more how these things come together. And then what's remarkable to me is how often he'll interview an artist who wrote an amazing song. Like, I'm thinking of Seal, one of my favorite artists, Seal, who did Kiss from a Rose, his big hit. And Ricky had him on a show. And Seal basically said, yeah, I wrote that in a couple hours on an afternoon. I was just experimenting with some stuff. And he talks about it. And I sit there going, what? Like, what? And even Rick Beato is like, that's crazy. Like, the song is so sophisticated and involved. There's so much going on there. And what you realize is it is a gift, that there's a point where, yes, you have to work hard. You have to put in the time. If you're a writer, if you're a singer, whatever it is, you have to put in the time. But when there's just God-given talent, it comes to the top when you put in the time. It's not just an accident, right? And I think it just makes you appreciate more the wonder, the mystery of these great works of music, of art, of literature. And it just makes you appreciate that it speaks to the transcendent nature, what we're called
to.
It's so much more than just being knuckle dragging, you know, creatures. You just wake up thinking about what can I eat? What can I, you know, it really does speak the human soul, what we're made for, right? It gives us a glimpse of what's beyond, I think. That's what really comes down to.
But the other thing is this. I mean, you know, we've all heard the kind of slightly puritanical views of music, but the Bible is full of music. I mean, the Psalms were there to be sung in the temple, you know. I mean, we had David dancing before the ark so much that people told him to, you know, behave himself, you know. I mean, because he was singing and dancing and the lyres and the tambourines were going. So, you know, it's part of what makes us human beings to make music, you know. And I'm sure an AI can't make music as good as a human because you need soul. You need something of the human quality. But there's an aspect of music, and we're slightly against the clock here, Carl, but there's an aspect of music which I think is underreported, under-referenced. So it's this. It's for people like me and perhaps like you as well, which is that we're not into the technical making of music. We're not into that the A chord, the F sharp, whatever, you know. But whenever I hear certain pieces of music, they are transcending.
Yeah.
They paint pictures for me. They paint emotions for me. They bring tears to my eyes. And there is no way that I can rationally explain this.
Yeah, it takes you outside of yourself. Like even when
totally.
I go to Divine Liturgy and the music just and of course it's we have a choir that leads, but we sing and you know, I'm an okay singer. That's about it. But it takes you outside of yourself and it brings you to somewhere that you cannot be otherwise. And I think it's not just the subjective experience. I think there's an objective reality there because God gives us music so that we can have a glimpse, a touch of who he is. Now, of course, at the heart of the Divine Liturgy is the Eucharist. And so that's the heart of it. So even if we did a Divine Liturgy and the singing was bad, it would be profound. But when you have great music in worship and when you have great music that's outside of church, like what we might call more secular music, it still can speak. I mean, I can listen to, honestly, I can listen to a Radiohead song. I can even listen to certain songs by Chris Cornell and think, wow, this offers some kind of profound glimpse of a profound transcendent truth. I mean, they're touching on something, even though they might not, of course, be share the exact same beliefs, they're grasping for it. And so it in that way reveals a truth about the human person. We desire God. We long for God. I think at the bottom of the end of the day, that's what music says. It reveals more of humanity to us, and that humanity desires to know and love God.
Now, Carl, we brought you on today and we were going to talk about the synodality of the church. We were going to talk about World Youth Day. We're going to talk about all the problems of the church. But guess what? We've run out of time. Oh, what a shame. We ended up talking about prog rock and all the wonders of the musical universe. Carl, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you about something other than the church's woes. And I do hope you'll come back again and maybe we can talk about jazz, because I tell you what, I like jazz, but I'm a little bit of a novice. I need somebody to take me by the hand into that promised land. Are you up for it?
Yeah, if you want a non-musician who thoroughly loves jazz and who can kind of stumble his way through. I've actually written pieces introducing people. I wrote a piece years ago about jazz for people who hate jazz, albums for people who hate jazz or don't think they like jazz. And I love to talk about it. And I think maybe coming from a non-musician, it might be more interesting or at least quirky.
I think it'd be perfect. You sound like just the man. I mean, and don't let me loose with a jazz musician. We'd be here all night talking about the 10th chord or something, you know.
That's
so
right.
No, this would be great. Carl, thank you very much for all your hard work at the World Catholic World Report. You do a great job there. I don't know how you do it every single day. But do come back to us and talk to us about music at a later date.
Always happy to, Kevin. It's always a pleasure. Thank you.
That was Carl Olson, whose day job is Catholic World Report editor, but he's also an aficionado of all sorts of music and a very, very interesting man as well. Well, the patron saint of music is St. Cecilia, so we say, St. Cecilia, pray for us.
All right, another great week in the books, Kevin.
Yeah, it's passed nicely, hasn't it? It's passed off without any casualties, as far
it
as
I sure know. Has, yes. It has, no casualties.
But good.
What do we have coming up on Monday?
I was hoping you weren't going to ask me that, because Michelle did send me the note of who it is, and I can't find it. I'm so sorry. It's somebody who's going to come talk to us about comics. I've got it here now. Sorry, forgive me. Julian Peters is coming to talk to us about comics. Yes, you get it all on this show. You get prog rock and comics. So Monday we'll be talking about comics. We'll be talking about a whole lot else besides, I'm sure.
Excellent. I'm excited for it. I'll be here.
I hope so. Otherwise, it's going to be a very quiet show.
It'll be very quiet with nobody to turn your microphone on.
Okay, listen, I hope you've enjoyed listening to us. You may not call us, but I hope you enjoy listening to us. And I hope you will come and listen to us again. Same time, same frequency, same me. But in the meantime, may St. Joseph watch over you and all those you love. And until we meet again, may God bless you and keep you. Have a great weekend. See you Monday.